Happy Arizona good morning. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. We're all here for one purpose, to put a smile on your face, put a sparkle in your eye, a skip in your step, and a curl on your cheek. Come on, give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. We're in the garden this first hour. We'll answer any question you might have about landscaping, gardening, exterior lighting, irrigation, trimming, hedging, fertilizing, cutting, mowing, trimming. What did I miss? Romy, introduce your special guest this morning, and this is your great opportunity for all of you with a landscaping question to get online now. Good morning. Operators are standing by. My daughter, Peanut, will get your name, find out what your question is, where in the great state of Arizona you're calling from. We've got Michael Reisch, our broadcast engineer, making sure all of this hits the satellite and bounces right back into your house, perfectly focused by laser beams. We've got sweet Jennifer, my wife, here, kind of looking up all the last-minute information we need to do and researching answers to your questions as we go on the fly, and my co-host, Romy Romero. Good morning, bud.
Good morning. We have Jonathan Manning, no stranger to our listeners, from Elgin Nursery and Tree Farm. He fills in and joins us from time to time as we're in your neck of the woods, or like this weekend when Mr. Harper's out with the Harper family doing a little outdoor excursion. Jonathan?
Morning. Always happy to be here.
Now, we were talking earlier about your titles. Can you rattle a few of them off?
I'm a certified arborist. Other than that, it's grower for Elgin Tree Farm for a really, really long time.
Almost 20 years.
Almost, yeah.
I was wondering, you had mentioned earlier your favorite tree is mesquite.
Yeah. I love planting stuff that loves to grow here, you know.
20 years ago when you planted your first mesquite, how big is it now?
35 feet, 35 by 35. It's a nice tree. Provides pods for... I feed them to my geese, the mesquite pods.
Perfect. It's food and shade.
That's right.
Our horse loves them.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Well, hey, can I sneak one quick mesquite question in since I can cheat and see that the phones are lining up and before we get their names? One quick mesquite question. I can sneak that in. Jonathan, should you stop watering a mesquite as fast as they grow? And we have six in our front yard. Every one of them are volunteers that I moved to where I wanted them to go. And they're close to 20 years old. They're 25, 30 feet. But should I just stop watering them?
You can. Being that old, you know, you have to water them as they get rooted in, get their roots deep and
they
wide.
They just take off,
yeah,
man.
But after a couple of years, you could start tapering off the water. And after five, say, you could bring the water all the way off. What it does is make them a little thinner. But if that's where you want them to be, the height and width you want, they kind of can just stay like that for good.
Yeah, all right. Sounds like a winner.
Any particular type? Because you have your Chilean mesquite.
If you don't mind the thorns, a native mesquite, the ones right here from the desert, are the strongest to the wind. They're a little slower growing, so you don't have that pruning problem all the time. And it's just a better tree, perfectly adapted to live here.
And next to you, we have Donna DeFrancisco, who's been nodding her head the whole time in agreement. She's here with Water Use It Wisely, obviously.
Yes.
Talking about water conservation, and y'all have got to love the mesquite as well.
Absolutely. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me here. It's really exciting to be here. And yes, I love mesquites. Mesquites are wonderful, and I'm so glad to hear Jonathan loves the native because it's so beautiful, and it really attracts a lot of the wildlife, too. So it replaces a lot of the native plants that are lost to construction. And even though the South Americans do very well, I love just seeing the native mesquites brought in. So,
and there's rarely a month that goes by, and I say a month, probably even a week, that we're not referring to y'all's publication,
awesome.
Water by the Numbers.
Yes, yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, I'm actually co-author of that book, so I'm very proud of it. So I'm glad to hear that you're using it.
You have to sign this before
you
leave.
My name's in the back, yeah. So, yes, we, you know, it's funny. We put that booklet together after we actually, you know, there's a little yellow card in the back. We created the cards to go right inside the controller box to remind people that, you know, during different times of the year, you need to adjust your watering. And that's even though we really appreciate what irrigation timers or controllers can do to help you water efficiently, it also might cause you to water inefficiently if you don't go out and change that timer for the different times of the year.
Still needs a little human touch.
That's right. That's right. Now, there are some smart controllers out there now that kind of do it for you according to the weather. So that's good if you have one of those. But if you don't, then we need you going out there and changing that timer. So we had the little yellow card that we created first. We realized that that just kind of gave people different schedules for different times of year. And then we realized we really needed to give a little more detail of how to water. We always had that question of how do I water? And watering, unfortunately, I know Jonathan will attest to this, it's an art and a science. There's no, you know, like for planting trees and for pruning trees, we actually have standard, very, very specific standards. There's even ANSI standards for pruning trees. But for watering, there's just so many different variables. It's the soil type. It's the type of plant. It's the size of the plant. It's the, what kind of irrigation system you have. It's all those things that you have to put it in. And that's why we called it landscape watering by the numbers, because there's a lot of numbers to consider, including gallons or times and minutes and hours to run your system and emitter sizes and all that. So we try to at least give a little help for how to water.
And it's available for free in multiple places.
Absolutely.
You get it at Harper's Nursery.
All the nurseries.
It's right at Elgin Tree Nursery on the shelf.
Excellent.
I was at Baker earlier this week on 40th Street. They have it on their shelf. I mean, there's probably not an independent nursery that doesn't have this.
Correct. We do supply to the nurseries. All the city conservation offices will have them available. If you call your city water conservation office, they can mail one to you. Libraries usually carry them. But yeah, we'd love to have people pick them up at the nurseries, because that's where they're getting their plants and need to know how to water properly. So.
And you mentioned a lot of numbers. I think that has to do with a lot of plants that, I mean, Jonathan, I don't know of another place right now we could talk about planting grass at the same time we're talking about getting ready for frost protection. It's such a unique,
that's right.
Unique climate here.
It is really interesting.
So we can still plant our winter ryegrass if we haven't got that done.
Getting close to the last chance, but yeah. The colder it gets at night, the slower it comes up, and that period where you're babying the seed, watering it all the time, just gets longer and longer the longer you wait.
So pretty narrow window there, but we're also, as you know, still pretty warm in the day, but we're getting close to frost time. What do I need to identify in frost protection? What plants?
It's all the plants that we grow here that are from tropic regions. They have no way to protect themselves from the cold. They don't even know it's coming, so they just keep growing like crazy with this good weather we have. And then all of a sudden around Thanksgiving, usually, the first frost comes and kills them. So the frost blanket is your first line of protection against that.
And how is that different than the blanket or a pillowcase?
It's quilted, so it's a little thicker, holds the air in better. It breathes enough where you can leave it on for a couple days. It usually freezes a couple nights in a row, so you don't want to be out there taking something off, putting it back on each day. You can leave it on, a little bit of light goes through it, so it's something you can leave there until the danger of frost is gone and put it back in the garage for a while.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. As we bring John into the conversation on citrus, welcome to the program, sir. How may we help you?
Well, I have a nice 20 or 30 year old tangerine tree that's just loaded with fruit, ready to go, all green, of course. But some small percentage of them are splitting, and I wondered what was the problem, if I could do anything about it.
Usually citrus fruit will split from irregular watering if it's not like really on a regular schedule. What happens is when a little bit of drought dries the skin of the fruit out, and then when the water comes back, it fills them back up from the inside and cracks through that dry skin that's formed through the dry period. So it's keeping them well irrigated on a regular schedule, usually stops it. But at this point, they're about to ripen. It's probably something you'd try next year so it doesn't happen.
And is there any benefit in maybe scaling back so they don't split and trying to salvage what's left, or just forget about it for this year?
Yeah, I mean, pick what you can. Yeah, thin a little bit. Anytime you thin a little bit, it gives more energy to the ones that are left. So if there's some that are already cracked, you pick them off and give a little more energy to the ones that are still good.
And maybe it's just because I wasn't paying close enough attention, but I didn't realize this week there's a difference between a tangerine and a tangelo.
Yeah, definitely. Tangelo is half grapefruit. You wouldn't think it by tasting one, but a tangelo is a tangerine and a grapefruit mixed together. Usually the most common one has a little bump on top is how you tell them from an orange or a tangerine. Has a little bump on the stem end. But yeah, it's a really good fruit.
Who cross-pollinated that?
I do not know. Or when, for that matter.
They're great for juicing, too, the tangelos. I love them.
Yeah.
The tangelos are better at juicing?
I like them in juice, yeah, a lot. And we mix them with the regular oranges and do tangelos, and it just gives an excellent flavor. So.
Well, and back on water conservation, I wanted to I completely blew past this.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about the incredible photo contest y'all are putting together.
Yeah, well, let me tell you just briefly about Water Use It Wisely, because I'm representing Water Use It Wisely today, which is our our public information campaign, where it's a, just a colorful, fun campaign that just reminds people to save water, and then we give tips on how to save water. We always provide real simple tips. And so we're putting on, we have a wonderful website. We have a lot of resources on there, not only information that we're providing ourselves along with our 100-plus tips, but we also have lots of good landscape information, or we have links to, you know, it's a really good source to get links to all kinds of other places for good information also. But just to get people a little excited about our water here in Arizona, we're having a Celebrate Arizona Water photo contest. And what's really exciting about this is the first time we've done this, we have a really neat prize. We have a $500 gift card to a nursery of your choice. So any of the Arizona nurseries that are members of the Nursery Association and are part of the Plant Something campaign that they're doing, we're partnering up with them. And whoever wins is going to be able to find a nursery that's either their favorite nursery or one that's close to them, and they'll be able to get a $500 gift card to them. So if you don't even have a photo, but you want to just go to the site, waterusitwisely.com, you can just see what amazing photos we've had already submitted for the contest. And that contest ends December, so there's still plenty of time to get your photos in or go out and get some new photos.
They are gorgeous. I've been sitting here watching them all morning rotate. I looked at it about a week ago, and there's more now. I mean, just – and some of the dams. I mean, I didn't even
know
all those dams exist.
There's a lot of dams here. And then just some other beautiful waterways or places, natural waterways and lakes or waterfalls and things that people have captured. And it's just amazing. Some great photos. And then some fun photos like people celebrating the monsoon rains coming and things like that, too. So.
And Jonathan, $500 goes a long way at a nursery.
It does go a long way. I wish I had $500 at a nursery.
That could be a whole yard of planting. 1-888-767-4348. When we get back, we have Todd, who's got some tree buying questions, and Bud in Tucson wants to talk about transplanting mesquite sprouts. That and more right after this.